Ross Town Council for Thursday, August 9th, 2018. Mr. Chin, has the agenda been posted?
Yes, it has.
And this is open time for matters pertaining to closed session and agenda item four. There appear to be no members of the public here, so we can pass on that. And we'll wait a moment or two before going into closed session for the arrival of our last. Okay, we have been in closed session. We're now going to return to open session for the regular meeting of Ross Town Council of Thursday, August 9th, 2018. We have nothing to report from the closed session. And we're continuing. We will continue the closed session after the conclusion of the open session. First of all, we have one set of minutes to look at. Does anyone have suggestions with respect to the minutes?
There was one change that was made. Name was misspelled. We had Betsy Young, and it was actually Betsy Young here who spoke. So I made that change.
Okay.
I move your minutes as edited.
Second.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Take the vote. Councilmember Reckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
And Councilmember Russell? Oh, I'm sorry. You're recused. That's right. No, sorry. And Mayor Cool?
Aye.
Okay, they passed unanimously.
All right, have the demands been met?
Yes, they have.
All right, this is the time for open time for public expression for anyone who wishes to discuss with us any matter that is not on our agenda. And you have 3 minutes to do so if you wish to do so. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address us at this point? I see none, so we'll move on. Next item is the mayor's report. August is usually a slow month in Boston, with many families grabbing a few days of vacation before school starts again on August 22nd. And indeed, the streets don't seem very busy, but actually there's quite a bit going on. A sewer district contractor is finishing up replacement of large sewer pipes on Lodges Road near Ross School. Similar replacements on Shady Lane and Molinas Avenue have been postponed for 10 to 12 weeks, awaiting arrival of some more pipes. Sealing of various streets has been completed, and repaving of Wellington Avenue and Fallen Leaf, as well as rebuilding sidewalks along El Wellington Avenue, are underway. Samples of new LED streetlights proposed by PG&E to replace the outdated mixture incandescent high-pressure sodium lights currently providing some illumination throughout the town have been installed on Ross Common and in the Windship area. Please let us know if you have any comments on their effectiveness. Throughout the town, PG&E's contractor is busy trimming trees away from power lines. Because of the concerns raised by recent wildfires, more extensive cutting is being done to establish greater clearances based on new clearance standards from the California PUC. Ross Recreation staff is busy preparing for a movie night on Ross Common on August 17th and for the town dinner at the same location on September 28th, so save those dates. The town council will be taking action at our monthly meeting on dealing amendments to our social post regulations, our bicycle and pedestrian plan, and our wireless telecommunications facilities regulation. So we can apply them on the last those one. The next agenda item is council committee and liaison reports. Are there any such forms? Yes.
I have two. First of all, there will be a fire in the rain class October 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. and it's going to be held at St. John's. And residents need to sign up via email in advance. And the other item I wanted to bring to people's attention was from the homelessness committee. There's going to be a screening of a movie at the Rafael Theater in San Rafael on Thursday night, September 20th at 7 o'clock, followed by a panel. And the gist of the movie and the panel is how mental illness affects homelessness.
Thank you. Are there any other committee or liaison reports?
Yes, just briefly from the Urban Telecommunications Agency, one of the topics that came up last night and is an ongoing topic is just state and federal-like legislation that would that allow infrastructure for telecommunications to be placed on town property without town input. There's something called the Streamline Act that would force local governments to lease out publicly owned infrastructure without local restrictions. And Marin Telecommunications Agency and many of the towns have written a letter opposing the current bill, and we'll see what happens to it.
Thank you. Is there any other committee or liaison reporting? If not, we'll move to staff and community reports, first from our town manager.
I'm going to hand it over to Mike Armstrong to talk about Ross Recreation.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. We put together a slideshow on the activities and programs we've held, and as I go through, I'll fill in some information. We began this summer with the graduation of Ross Preschool. As you know, the preschool is transferring to the nonprofit David Hughes, who is our current preschool director. The transition went fairly seamlessly. We're looking forward to working with David, and we will continue to offer preschool programming in the arts, sports, and after-school activities, as well as during the summer. And we hope to form some partnerships that will benefit both of the programs. An added bonus is David's a Ross native, so we're pretty happy where the space that the preschool is in. On to the 4th of July, the weather cooperated. Didn't have a windstorm like last year. And began the parade. I can't thank John Will enough. He gets into character so well, and he does such a great job. The new drumline seemed to be a hit, so we're going to bring them back. We had people dancing in the street after the parade. Much to the chagrin of some of the performers that were supposed to go on, so we were a little behind schedule, but it was basically a street party. Mayor Cole and Councilmember Robbins in the parade. Ross Valley Little League had their Little League All-Stars participating in. I think this is the third year they've done this with the invitation in the Cedars. Once again, the Shady Ladies and Marin Golden Gate Barbershop provided the music. And Sandra Jackson ran the children's games, which was a big hit. Our summer camps this year, our summer camp faced a challenge this year for a couple of reasons. One, 4th of July was right in the middle of the week, and when that happens, people tend to use that as a vacation week. I know three families that went to Tahoe that week. And then the other thing we faced was the school schedules. Our prime week is usually the third week of June. However, Ross School went until the third week of June, and they're opening early this year in a couple of weeks. So that kind of condensed our main camp, so we shifted them into first week of August and then extended some other camps, which I'll show, to offer some programming later on in the summer. We had the adventure camp, and this year we traveled to some water sports parks. We partnered with 101 Surf down in San Rafael and went to Stinson Beach. This is a pretty popular program that we're looking at retooling a little bit and theming and probably backing down to 3 days a week because the feedback we're getting from the parents and the kids, 5 days of field trips is a little too much. So, Top Gun is our main sports camp, and it has a variety of sports. This is at the Palladium in Alameda, and the last event that they went to on a field trip was an A's game against Toronto, where the A's were victorious, and the A's staff, I got to thank the community services staff over there, gave us commemorative pass. It's their 50th anniversary event in the Bay Area. Once again, we had 40 girls led by Cassis Schaefer, John Mark's daughter. Pretty well attended, and again, it's a sports camp team for for young ladies based on a variety of sports similar to Top Gun. Camp Safari is a preschool camp taught by Danny Levy. Danny is a preschool teacher in San Anselmo. She also provides our music for our preschool ages in our preschool music program. This, to me, is one of the more fascinating camps. Red Explorers is led by Marty Ross. Marty's a teacher down at Basich, and we began this program about 3 years ago with an emphasis on branching out into combination educational field trips, as well as fun stuff. They went to the USS Hornet and took a tour, a guided tour, as well as some interactive exhibits. But the one on the left is Bryn Guidonis for the line. The one on the right is Berkeley Adventure Playground, which is highly interactive, hammer construction, and very well received by the kids. We're going to do that again next year. Some new camps we added an art camp with different mediums, charcoal, and watercolors. We had special presentations, the balloon clown on the left and the bowl man on the right. We started this camp last year with Sandrick and Audrey's boyfriend, Danny, gone fishing, and it's grown every year to the point where we're going to offer it in the fall. What they do is go to different venues and fish and teach them how to fish, freshwater, saltwater, pier, and we're going to branch out possibly into some salmon fishing in the fall. The extended camps into August, we backloaded with carpentry and more specialty camps. And so this week, carpentry and fishing are going along with, we have a holly hopping camp as well. We also have some specialty sport camps that we backloaded into August. This is a field hockey camp we started with USA Hockey last year. The lady in the middle is the coach, assistant coach of Redmond High, former Harvard player, and that's been really well received, and we're going to continue that in the fall, possibly the spring as well. Next week, Karen Horsemeyer's middle school girls basketball clinic comes in. Karen, most of you know, is a local legend at Redmond High, and former Cal player and former coach of Santa Clara and Cal. Her camps fill pretty well, and that will be one of the last camps we hold in the summer, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Just a reminder again, Maya Zorn has put together a movie night on the Common, and the hope is that we get parents and children and parents and students who are back from vacation just before law school to come and have a nice picnic on the lawn and watch a movie. Also want to remind you to save the date, Rosstown Dinner, Bob Scott All-Stars will be back. Bob loved playing here the last couple of years, so we've got him locked down for a while. And all the infrastructure. We're going to have registrations open up later this month. And one last slide. Surprise visitors to Ross Common yesterday. I don't know if anybody saw this, but the minute Ignacio fire started, Cal Fire came in and staged that truck. We couldn't figure out what was going on, but I think it's either retardant or fueling it up. So this was one of the staging areas. And they came in and were gone in a minute for the Ignatio, good fight, the Ignatio fire, and gives a new meaning to multi-purpose field. So that's our summer. We're looking forward to fall. There's not much transition time for staff because school's opening early, but we'll have about a week of registration. We've opened up fall registrations as of today. So that's what we've been doing in the summer.
Thank you. How do I sign up for something?
I don't want to go to the fishing camp. I want to be the counselor, not the director. So, thank you.
Is that your?
Yes.
Okay. Ross Property Owners Association, I don't see anybody here. Ross Historical.
That's funny.
my thanks to Mayor and Council members here. I'm Fran Capoletti, librarian at the Jose Moya del Pino Library, Ross Historical Society. I'm a little early to announce our next event, since I believe it's the day after your next meeting, which will be this September 14th at 11 a.m. We have our annual meeting and talk hosted. We're hosting Tom Perry, who's from Fairfax, longtime owner of Sunnyside Nursery, to talk about his great aunt Isabella Warren. In the early 20th century, she was a florist with her sisters, but one of the best in San Francisco. All the society events came to her. And she was also a great horticulturalist and interior decorator. She worked at such places as Filole and Hearst Castle. I think she was famous to be fired like many people at Hearst Castle. She also grew up on the site of our library, at least her first few years, the old Warren Estate, now the Marin Art and Garden Center. So we look forward to that. Lunch will follow in detail, so we encourage anyone with interest to either come for the talk or do the talk and stay for lunch. I also want to thank the town for the past and future stories, sharing information that we share and about what we do. It's a nice thing for you to do, and it helps. I've enjoyed many visitors recently. I've had the ability to help the Art and Garden Center, a student at Branson, people who had relatives and family here long ago. So we're glad to be open more on Saturdays, 12 to 3. And we've been open for these concerts, which you can't attend today, but they've been a great event as well, a way to meet the people of Ross in the area. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran. Okay, now we will move to our consent agenda. There are three items to be considered in this agenda. The first is the town council's response to the Marin County Grand Jury report of June 8, 2018, titled Yellow School Bus Traffic Congestion Relief. The second is town council acceptance of the fiscal year 18 fourth quarter investment report. And the third is the town council selection of members to the town council committees and town representatives. Does any member of the council wish to pull any of these items for further discussion? Okay. Does anyone in the public wish to request that an item be pulled? All right, seeing none, I think we can entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
And Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
And it passes unanimously.
Okay, that's the end of the consent agenda. We're now on public hearing on the planning project. We have just one in this part of our agenda, 7 Walters Road. And I need you to give us a report on that.
Good evening, Mayor, cool members of the town council. As this item is on the planning level one public consent calendar, I have nothing further to add other than what's in my staff report, but I am available to answer any questions you may have.
Does anyone have any questions? Okay. I see the applicant is here. One of the applicants is here. The applicants are entitled to 15 minutes if they wish to make a presentation. But it's not necessary to do that, and we can reserve time if they wish to respond to anything that may come up in further discussion. You want to wait?
Good.
You're going to wait your time?
Yeah, we'll wait.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does the council have any questions for Heidi? Does the public wish to comment in any way on this project? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Does anyone wish to discuss this matter before we put it to a vote?
I thought it looked fine, and I just want to be on record that it's not just man caves we can agree with she sheds or anything else, but it looked fine. It looked like it met all the requirements of the intent of the ordinance.
Any other comments? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Okay, Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
bicycle and pedestrian traffic.
Mayor and Council, Richard Simmons, Public Works Director. Tonight, staff is asking the town to consider to review and discuss the 2018 update to the 2010 Town Ross Project Head and Master Plan. Provide staff with comments and direction for adopting the plan at a future meeting. The type of feedback we'd like to get from Town Council tonight is consideration of the projects, the priority projects that we're going to be presenting tonight, so that staff can pursue the projects under the capital improvement program and pursue grant funding as well. So there's plenty of grant funding for these type of projects that would be facilitated greatly by the adoption of this appendix to the 2010 update of the 2010 master plan. The original plan was adopted in 2010, and in 2013, and this is a correction to the staff report, that's the resolution that the town adopted, number 1809, was adopted February 14th, 2013, and I believe that's been corrected on the resolution and hopefully your staff report. So it's set a goal to increase bicycle and pedestrian trips by 20%. So what does that mean? So it's a tough metric to get a handle on because we didn't really establish a baseline back in 2010 of what we were currently doing. So I think what we need to look at as far as that as a goal is one in every five trips that a person would take within the town to do whatever, to go to school, to go to the market, one in every five of us should be either walked or ride your bike to the destination instead of taking the car. It's just sort of something that can be facilitated by our own outreach programs to the residents that consider taking the bike and walking a lot more often. For every five trips, throw one in as a bike trip or a walk trip. That's the type of measure we're really looking at. That 20% goal. Just increase your bike and ped usage. So what will facilitate that is if we can close some of our gaps that we have in our sidewalks and our bikeways, put a little bit more signage on the roadways that will at least keep our residents, the kids who do ride bikes, a little bit safer and so they know the correct ways to go and that sort of thing. So that said, I'm going to hand the presentation over to Steve Kinsey with all the planning to kind of go over what we're proposing with the update. And then afterwards, we can entertain any questions that you have. So, Steve, anything from here?
Welcome, Mr. Kinsey, and I'm sorry that you still had to drive on a two-lane road. We haven't got it to four lanes yet.
That's right. Well, after a lot of arm twisting from Richard, we took that out of our recommendation. No, in all seriousness, the last time I saw a bear on a bicycle was on the Ed Sullivan Show, so it's a privilege to be here once again to work with the town of Ross. And actually, I want to, all kidding aside, I want to thank Richard and the Department of Public Works for working very closely with ALTA and engaging with your community with an online survey to get more information than just what we could offer on our own. So thank you, Richard. And also, the funding that allows the town to have this plan came through the Transportation Authority of Marin. Your mayor serves on that body, board of directors or board of commissioners. And so we want to thank TAM as well, and Scott McDonald in particular, the staff member for TAM, who worked very closely with all of us on that. So, let's just, okay, great. So the purpose, as Richard said, this is an appendix to your 2010 plan. We're not reinventing your bicycle and pedestrian plan. We're updating the conditions. We're giving you a status report, in effect, and it gives you an opportunity as a council, after the years that have passed, to consider what to reprioritize within relatively the same concepts for how to address walking and biking in the town. It also, I think, is a very important point, is that it's a requirement to be eligible for programs that the state has for bicycle and pedestrian facilities, that you have a currently updated plan. And so when you've made your final decisions, and if you do approve this appendix, it will ensure your eligibility for outside funding sources to help you with the projects that you want to do. The goals are really, I think, the main thing I want to emphasize here is that we're really focused on the local community, how to make it safer, more enjoyable for your residents to move around town in healthy ways, in ways that reduce their use of the car, but especially with a focus on getting children and families safely to and from schools and the town center. That's really where the plan's primary focus is. And as I'm sure you're well aware, you do have a system of existing bikeways, primarily along Shady Lane, connecting with some gaps to the multi-use path along the Quarter Madera Creek. The intention of this plan is really to just strengthen that, not to make any big changes to it. Importance of bike parking is just a point to make. You do have, these are some examples of bicycle parking facilities that you already have in the town center. The key point is that if you want people to feel comfortable biking and you want it to be safe for others, you want to provide locations where bicycles can be secured in settings that aren't going to interrupt other pedestrians in the area. Your existing walkways, I think the most significant one is your commitment from the town square out to the access to Phoenix Lake along Lagunitas Road. Currently, portions of that are unpaved. This plan is proposing that you make a commitment over time to completing the paved sidewalk along that route. But currently, you have that, and then, of course, on the Linus Road at the northern boundary, there are sidewalks as well. The circled areas indicate places where gaps exist, and I think that for a town like Ross, that's really what your focus will be on, is where are small gaps that make a big difference. In terms of what you've recently completed in the last few years, you can see that what you've really been focusing your attention on is intersections. And intersections are really important to focus on because that's where much of the conflict and uncertainty lies. It's where quite often the highest risk for pedestrians and bicycles exist. And so you have made a number of sidewalk and intersection improvements, and this plan intends to recommend that you continue to do that. Collisions is something that nobody really wants to emphasize, but everyone understands the value of understanding where you've had safety issues in the past. And the good news for the town is that you've only had a handful of accidents that involve bicyclists or pedestrians in the 8 years between 2007 and 2016. Five bike-involved accidents, three pedestrian-involved accidents. Not enough to suggest that there's a serious problem at any of these locations, but certainly worthy of consideration as you make improvements in the future. And this is really the sort of concept for what we're proposing. And again, as I say, it's not really a significant change, perhaps the most significant modification to the existing plan in this appendix would be the recognition of the value of a walking loop on Fern Hill and Glenwood, coming around to Lagunitas Road and Shady Lane. It also reinforces the long-standing commitment you've had to make it safe and enjoyable for people to get out to Phoenix Lake for your residents to walk there safely on Lagunitas Road. And there continue to be value in improvements on Laurel Grove, although they are not as heavily emphasized as the routes to on the western side of Sir Francis Drake. And then finally, on the route that is the designated bicycle route on Shady Lane, this plan proposes to close gaps between Shady Lane and the Corte Madera Creek path, so around the Ross Common and down onto Poplar, to give greater clarity for folks as to what the appropriate route would be. There'll be more emphasis for bicycles on Poplar and more emphasis for pedestrians on the creek path. And then, you know, this is here really just to illustrate that when we talk about a bike route, like we were talking about on Shady Lane and onto Poplar, that you clearly increase awareness of people in autos by placing pavement markings, such as the share the road with the symbol of the bicyclist. Sheros is another term that's used for chevrons with a bicycle logo. Wayfinding signage or other route signage to keep people aware of where the town wants the bicycles to be on your roads. And an idea that will be at least in the toolkit for your Department of Public Works is this idea of a yield roadway, which really is a way of allowing vehicles that are coming onto a travel bicycle pedestrian route to have some use of the shoulder before they merge with the travel lane, so that if there are bicycles there, they have ability to pull out from the intersected road. This may be a technique that could apply on Glenwood, although that really requires additional study, so it's not a specific recommendation in the plan. So I think with these as the proposed projects that we have, the improvement and closing of the gaps on Shady Lane, extending to Poplar and to the Corte Madera Creek, the development of the loop along Fern Hill, Glenwood, and completing the sidewalk improvements along Lagunitas on its way out to Nethercoffe Creek Park. The priorities, and these have been established in conversation with your Department of Public Work, but they're really a recommendation for your consideration. And this is really the substance of what our goal for this evening is to hear from you as to whether these suggested priorities make sense for the town as it relates to capital improvements, as it relates to grants that you might be seeking to make these projects happen. So the new walkway on Fern Hill will be a significant improvement to create an asphalt concrete pathway along the shoulder of Fern Hill. The walkway and pavement markings on Laurel Road, pavement markings through the area of the commons on the road to illustrate to bicyclists and pedestrians how to get to the Corte Madera Creek pathway and further on down Poplar Avenue. And then gap closures on Redwood Drive for the sidewalk and on Poplar as well. So with that, I think that really this is the opportunity for you and the public to sort of share with us what makes sense based on the input we received from you this evening and administrative action, perhaps at a subsequent council meeting to adopt the revised plan after we've incorporated your thoughts into the work.
Yes. So these priorities are not necessarily in any particular order. Number one is not necessarily the first priority. They're just
they're for your consideration. If you have any questions on these, or concerns, or like, how is something going to work? How are we going to get a sidewalk on Laurel Grove? Those sort of things we have taken into consideration before we put them in as priorities. So turn it over to council for consideration and questions.
Well, my first question is, how can you do anything on Glenwood? I mean, it's narrow, it's uphill or downhill, and it's curvy. What specifically do you have in mind for Glenwood?
Well, the reason we chose Glenwood or picked it out of all the streets is because it is a current loop used heavily by pedestrians that they're always on Glenwood, either walking to the park or back around. So we wouldn't propose, we'd have to do a study, as Steve said, to really evaluate what could and couldn't be done. You know, it has really poor shoulders, everybody walks on the street. But it would be more of the shared right-of-way concept, or just a nominal amount of improvements. But the other diagram too, yeah, I guess that's something like that, where so what Steve would actually have to be done with Glenwood, and is it signage, is it striping, or
I think it is signage. It's awareness that it's a shared route, that they, folks can expect to see pedestrians on the actual road surface in the traveled way. You don't have the ability and the will to really change the character as much as would be required to be able to provide full shoulders there. So it's more about what we call wayfinding, routing, signage, and these pavement markings, with some opportunity, if they exist, for vehicles that are entering into the roadway to be able to see clearly in both directions before they fully merge.
Does anyone on the council have any questions?
I just want to park Glenwood from Bolinas up, or the park from the top of the hill all the way to Longinus?
It's Ferndale to Longinus. The loop would be Longinus, Glenwood, Ferndale, Shade.
I mean, just a few comments about that. I mean, yes, people walk there all the time, but it all seems to work just fine, so I'm not quite sure why we would put money into Glenwood, just kind of slow, windy street where there just aren't issues, I would say. Whereas Laurel Grove, people have said for quite some time, the children who live in that area can't walk safely or lose their bikes, and that seems like that's a community priority. But I first of all wouldn't put Glenwood anywhere because it's used heavily and happily.
I guess I'm a little confused. In what capacity are you here? Are you here as what is your role? Because I was surprised that the staff report is going to be given by Rich, and then I was a little unclear.
Alta Planning and Design was retained with funding from the Transportation Authority to work with your Department of Public Works and your council to produce a plan. So we're here as consultants working on the project.
Then the next comment I would have is, I'm not a huge fan of public works signs, as I've said. I know I overrated the pictures I promised of the fence and new signs in town, around town, but I just think it ruins the look of the community. I think some of this is a little bit of a solution in search of a problem. We've got these beautiful tree-lined streets with, you know, a lot of charm. And to me, to put a bunch of signs up on the road, when we don't even have, I mean, 2007 to 2016, the number of accidents includes one on the commons. And so I just don't even think that, given how many bikers we have, I mean, we should see. Sometimes we have a small army of bikers parked in the St. Anselm's parking lot. And there's a million bikers coming through here, and I think it's working fine. I do have a couple areas where I think we should look at, and they're not necessarily the ones that's on the priority. And I think if we were to look at some of these other ones, I really would like to look at some of these gaps, which it wasn't clear to me exactly how this was, whether we were making a plan for future wish lists or what. I know from Winship Park residents that they complain that the crosswalk, which allows people to turn from Bolinas onto St. Francis Drake, and from Molinas on Sir Francis Street going towards San Salmo or going towards the school. The kids are walking, the cars have a green light, and it's not clear to a lot of those drivers that the kids also have a walk sign. And so most parents, myself included, do not let my children walk down Shady unless I can walk them across that street. And so many parents have said to me over the years, you know, one, I want to be a cross guard, but, you know, what about that section could be safer? Because I think it adds a lot of cars. If people really felt they could, their kid could navigate St. Francis Drake well right there, I think Winter Park, which has a ton of kids, could be improved. I agree with your comment that I don't see a whole lot on Glenwood and that maybe Fern Hill could be looked at, or La Donitas. But I'm really confused by the gaps that were being described, taking people down Shady and then, you know, further on. And I think that most Shady residents would say, please don't do anything to further encourage tons of bicyclists because they're not stopping in our community. And like making it a thoroughfare, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays feels like it would encourage more bicyclists. And we're, I don't think we're at Sausalito at this point, but I think we're getting there where people are frustrated with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even more people critical of that and then, you know, than positive. So those are my concerns about the bicycle plan.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a comment?
I just have a comment about trying to put a sidewalk or a better shoulder from Canyon down to Sir Francis Drake along Laurel Road. Mm-hmm. That's a really dangerous area, and cars are going so fast along there. I think that should be a priority. I think there's room to make it a priority. I don't think it would be that difficult, and I think it would increase safety a lot.
Yeah, I've been looking at that route to try to complete the sidewalk to Nellie that we put in a few years ago and get that up, something up to Canyon. I see a lot of kids on the street, you know, riding their bike and crossing and doing lane training for schools.
I personally wouldn't worry too much about the smaller streets. Maybe it's just because I live on Fernhill, but I don't think that there's a huge demand for changing Fernhill. But tarmacking parts of the walkway on Lagunitas, I'm not sure we need to do that. So for me personally, I'd be focused on what are the dangerous streets, and there's Francis Drake and, you know, and Laurel Grove.
Yeah, I think completing the sidewalk in Lagunitas, one of those things, like, that would be nice, because that's dirt in some spots. So that would be...
Like, personally, I think it's actually rather charming.
The way it's dirt. It is. I have a question for
you. I ride my bike. My bike, unfortunately, is in the pair shop. But I ride it pretty much every day on Lagunitas, and I know to ride on the street. I don't expect to ride on halfway.
No, just to be clear, the intention of the pathway was exclusively for pedestrians.
On Lagunitas?
Where does the funding for these projects come from?
Well, a range of sources. Bay Area Air Quality Management District has a Transportation for Clean Air program where they fund a number of bicycle and pedestrian facilities. The state of California has an active transportation program that uses both federal and state funds. And that program was recently significantly expanded when SB1 was passed into law last year, which increased the gas tax by 12 cents per gallon. Those are two very strong programs. In addition to that, for access to schools, safe access to schools, our own transportation authority, local self-help, sales tax dollars are used for those kinds of facilities. So those are three programs. All of them require somewhere between an 11 to 20% match from the local community.
Thank you. I have another question. I don't think I quite understand. We're supposed to have a plan, because towns are supposed to have a plan, but Are we actually going to go ahead and make the sidewalk on Laurel Road if that's at the top of our plan? I don't think I understand how the plan relates to our actions.
So once the council has adopted a plan and the plan identifies priority projects, and it can be, we can whittle that down to two or three priorities. We don't need five, we don't need, we select those priorities. Then when we apply for the grant funding and we have those projects identified in a town council adopted plan, that's steps one through five in getting the grant funding, getting on that in line for grant funding. So that's the importance.
So our job tonight is to decide which projects and prioritize them?
Yes. We don't need to prioritize them. We just want to, we can list the three main projects. We don't need to say this is number one, number two, number three, or four, or whatever. So that's what we'd like to do tonight, and then come back, re-present what we've done based on tonight's discussion, and hopefully adopt that.
So one thing we should be doing is getting up the opinions of the council with respect to which are the top three of these projects. Is that right?
It sounds like it's getting whittled down to three or four. So I'm reading we should get Glenwood off of the list, and we can definitely consider that. The Sir Francis Drake intersection, the right turn movement on Galenas, how can we mitigate that? Like, that could be in working with the signalization, or heaven forbid we put a sign up or something like that.
Are you talking about the intersection with Sir Francis Drake?
And Bolinas, the right, you're turning right from Bolinas, heading downtown. That's a dangerous.
Oh, are you talking about the intersection with Shady or with Sir Francis Drake or both?
With Sir Francis Drake and Bolinas. I don't think there's a safety issue at Shady and Bolinas.
Okay, I don't either, but I just wanted to be clear what we're talking about.
I think it was Council Member Breckus who was pointing that out, and she would want to clarify that, but I understood you were talking about the intersection of Sir Francis Drake.
Yes.
Right, and it's going both directions. Actually have the cars can turn, from Bolinas, yes, right or left towards San Salmo.
Right.
In both cases, the kids have a green light at the same time.
Oh, that's right, okay. Mm-hmm. It is a little tricky, and the timing of the pedestrian signage there is also a little bit hard to discern when I did the final walkthrough. So that's a good project to look at. I'm hearing also at the Laurel Grove extension to Canyon and maybe a little bit beyond. That's a big ticket item. There's going to be grading and road widening involved there. We've got the right way to do it. So making something like that a priority, it could be a significant project that we'd have to look at over the next couple of years. Pursuing that funding for that. So, you guys are all aware of the problems in the town, and we can just come up with some ideas or say yay or nay tonight. We can represent maybe in a month or two and wrap this up.
Well, I'd like to have us have a little more thought given our discussion about a walkway on Fernhill. We had a fair amount of discussion in connection with approving the new driveway from 11th Circle down onto Fernhill. And we ultimately decided that we would not require the owner to do anything because we couldn't get an agreement with him about what he would do, anything that he could do was satisfactory to us, as I saw. But I think it is because of the fact that it's an entrance to Branson. I think it's worthy of a little more consideration. I also think I recall, Rich, you're saying that would be pretty expensive to do that. We don't have any figures now. I understand that, that these priorities may have to be adjusted once we know how much they're going to cost.
Right.
But I think we should give a little more consideration to an appropriate walkway from the entrance to Branson down to at least Norwood and maybe even further down Fernhill.
I agree with that, but I also am a little frustrated that Branson is creating what we want to protect. There are students, and yet they're not, the kind of a two-way discussion with them about this issue, because I just would like to see them help pay for it. And, you know, I also think it's hard. I'm a little confused, or I think I'm clear, but I'm not confused in how we could make this say what's a priority, but then understanding that the devil's in the detail, and that we're not saying, yeah, let's go do this and start spending tons of money on it. Like, for example, one of my things I would support would be Lagunitas, because it's not ADA compliant. And even though I do like running and jumping over the roots and everything else, it's not ADA compliant. And so, you know, that's our obligation, so we should do that. But then, you know, if 20 trees had to be removed, that would be another consideration. So I feel like this item needs more understanding of the consequences of what we're saying when we say it's a priority. Because canyon to, you know, Laurel Grove, depending on cost, we might want to count how many students that serves versus how many students Winship Park might improve. I just feel like I'm a little getting rushed, and I'm not sure really what would follow from staff time and dollars spent and everything else.
Well, I think Councilman Brekus has a good point, that we can make some suggestions now about what we think are the things that most need to be done, but there's a lot of dependent on cost and maybe some further information about the volume of pedestrians and the volume of bicycles. I hate to suggest that, because that's another cost of getting somebody to do a traffic count. But I think my feeling is whatever we tell you tonight is very preliminary, dependent on a lot of details that develop in terms of cost. What's the real amount of use of these particular areas, and how much of a gain would be made by making
improvements? If I might, Mr. Mayor, I think you're doing exactly what we would have wanted you to do tonight. You're giving us input. I would say that clearly, as I'm listening, and again, it would be Rich's opportunity to give us direction, but Glenwood, it seems as though there's a strong sentiment that doesn't need much change. I think if you could confirm, even if it's not unanimous, if you ultimately want a paved pedestrian pathway all the way along Lagunitas, that would be clear. The Laurel Grove, the Canyon, to Sir Francis Strait, if that's something that you would like to have, these plans are not required to be implemented. They become, in effect, a guidepost for opportunities. And it's, every one of these is opportunistic. If a grant program comes along, that's really when you have to make the deeper consideration of cost and things of that nature. So having said that, I think that you have the opportunity after this evening to review it, provide further comment, or even hold another public hearing on it if you choose to. But I did want to just emphasize that by having projects on the list doesn't obligate the council to follow through on those projects in any order or any particular time.
Thank you. Yes.
I think that's really important. I think we see these as possible projects to consider, not something that's on the list. And I think the concern is if it's on the list and there's money, then it's automatic and the council doesn't have a vote to say yes or no, because as Elizabeth points out, there may be some cost to some of these projects that we're not comfortable with, that we have to, you know, change the whole character of the table. So
sure.
This isn't, you're saying absolutely this is just a list of possibilities.
It is a list of possibilities. Before any project would proceed to actual implementation, your council would have the opportunity to review it. The public would have an opportunity to have comment on it.
Can the council cancel
it? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. You have full and complete control over every project. Nothing on this list would happen automatically without further council action.
Okay, great. So my list would be the Lagunitas sidewalk, Sir Francis Strait intersection that Councilmember Brekus mentioned, Laurel Grove, and Fernhill possibly, but only down to
I wanted to see if other council members are there. Council member Robbins gave a list, and I just want to see, is that matching? And I think the point made, it is about opportunities. None of these, I'll tell you, none of these, we're going to have the money to pay 100%. We're looking for grants. It's what of these projects rise, and they see a grant program, like, ooh, that's a good match, or that's a good match. Or it could be related to Fernhill, Will Branson contribute. You know, we're looking, none of these will be 100% town funded, unless it was a small gap thing versus these big long ones, is just realistically. So it's to get those priorities, but I want to see if that makes sense.
It seems like, based on what Councilmember Brock has said, that there could be a quick remedy for the Bonitas or Francis Street issue and just getting a crossing guard there. And to encourage people to walk and for safety, it seems like that would be our highest priority in my mind. And I don't know if that's something that you, Rich, seems like that's more safe for us to school type funding. But I think that would be the top of my list. And then next would be the Laurel Grove to Canyon area. And then third would be the Fernhill to Norwood shoulder in conjunction with Branson, contributing a significant amount of funding. And then last would be the pathway along Bonitas.
Well, Rich, can I ask a question about the Bonitas Sir Francis Drake intersection? Is that really just a matter of timing signals so that there is a red light for cars while there's an opportunity for the pedestrians to cross?
I think adjusting the timing of the signals alone would sort of mess up the whole timing of the flow of Sir Francis Street. I think it would have to be some type of either crossing guard or additional signage that warns drivers about pedestrians. It's not an easy solution.
But it's a pretty simple solution to accomplish, isn't it?
But it depends on what the solution is.
In terms of cost, for example.
I think the first step would be to do a study on it, to hire a traffic consultant. Hey, how can we make these turning movements safer relative to pedestrians crossing at these intersections? It's definitely not something that our staff can.
It's not as simple as I think.
No, it's not. There are real simple solutions, and that deals with signage.
I'll bet people would feel comfortable with the sign. You know, that's not going to make you feel comfortable sending your child across the street where your child has the green light and suddenly the car is turning right.
Yeah.
And they're going to work and then they're
ready. I mean, if things like cost and simplicity of achievement of improvement are things we should be considering in setting a priority list, I would be inclined to think that that's simpler than any of the others and ought to get some priority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
I mean, before we hire a traffic consultant, I know that, you know, I've asked if Cam could consider a traffic guard there. I think that your experience is that they've already prioritized and they wouldn't agree to that. And I guess if we ask one more time and we're told no one more time, then my suggestion is before we hire a traffic consultant, why don't we look at how much putting out of the town fund a traffic guard would be per year? Because that might just be such a cheap thing. And I agree with Julie that there's already a lot going on in that intersection. So I think a lot of people who are not familiar with it are the most dangerous. They're trying to figure out when do I turn and what's going on here. And so I don't think a sign is like ever going to do the difference. And I agree with you that you'll slow down traffic and mix up a kind of integral part. I think the cheapest, easiest thing would be a traffic guard that we should look at funding out of, you know, the school, out of the town. And if we can have a conversation with the school and see if they would be willing to, you know, share it, I think that would be maybe another thing we could talk about.
There are a lot of traffic guards in Marin County paid for by school districts. Not a lot, but some. And the cost, in my recollection, is the cost is about $17,000 a year or something like that.
We should have said we'd support that traffic tax if they gave us the crossing guard.
Now, if I might, I'm getting a little out of my contract services, but I have been involved as a speech and a medical mayor in the expenditure plan that will be in front of voters this fall. And it does include an increase in funding for crossing guards. So I would be urging the town to apply. If that's successful, I think the town should apply immediately for one of the additional slots that would become available.
That's set out by a ranking system.
Yes.
All of whose components I've never quite understood.
It's my understanding.
There is a ranking system.
That list is already established.
Yes, it is. We're not at the bottom, we're not very high.
But the annual cost of the crossing guard is readily available. I think the number that came up in my mind was like 27,000. You said 17. And maybe it is, so say around 20 grand for a crossing guard. We need a contract with the crossing guard. But that's an ongoing thing, though. That's, you get a grant, so much grant funding that might fund 1 year. Work that into your annual budget plan, and those are things that we need to consider.
Does anyone else on the council have a comment? I know, I'm not sure if I have called for public comment or not, but I can see that there is somebody who wants a comment.
Yes.
Are you ready for it? I want to compliment everyone on the great staff report. And I think particularly the illustration of the Yale roadways and how that works is to do well that. I just want to make quick comments that I noticed that Branson School and trips to Branson and all are not included in this report. I understand it's not a public school, but the importance of the school to this town and also the number of trips, both bicyclists and pedestrians to the school, and not to mention 17-year-old drivers, it would be, I think, more of a priority to include it in some ways with the report. I think in terms of the heel roadways, there's a description that parking and no parking is an element of what makes a good heel roadway. And I think that it might be good if the report is revised to know there may be recommendations from the public works on areas that could be designated no parking, which would improve visibility and pedestrian refuge locations. I think the last point I wanted to make was that I noticed they talked about Fern Hill. Council did just a moment ago. I think it's somewhat confusing to me. I couldn't tell from the picture on the apps, but it seems like a walkway, maybe a concrete walkway or paved walkway is proposed in lieu of a heel roadway in this location from Norwood up to in Glenwood. And I think that this has been discussed extensively before the council with 11th Circle. My personal thought would be that it would be very appropriate to have this as simply a paved shoulder, not a concrete path, not a group path, just a paved shoulder. The cost of this was discussed at the 11th Circle hearing not long ago and was found to be very de minimis, possibly $22,000 total, possibly $33,000, but not the same as it would be for a concrete walkway. I think that it would be very appropriate in terms of the character of the road from, as was discussed by Councilman Russell, from Shady up to Glenwood, it's currently more of a it's not a paved path and a paved sidewalk area. It seems to be very comfortable the way it is. And improving that shoulder might be the most cost-effective and safety-effective method to getting an improvement. I think there's, as we all know, lives analyzed in statistics. And one thing you can say is that a third of all the pedestrian injuries in the last 8 years were at this location. Now, there's only three noted in the report, but still, this is a location that does have injuries reported. It is a case where there are problems with traffic and visibility, and I think this would be an area. The last thing is that on the report, we're talking about priorities. It seems to me that it's not just the area from Shady to Glenwood, that actually the areas discussed between Norwood and Branson is a priority area. The other parts of Fern Hill are eminently walkable, ready to shoulder. Councilman Russell mentioned there's easy in front of his house. So I think that just narrowing it down to that area would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay. Have you gotten from the council what you want?
Well, yes. And if you could maybe come up with a motion and give us some direction, that would be good to have. Either to continue studying or bring it up in another future.
Well, I don't know that we need a motion. Subject to other people.
Yeah, you don't.
We've given a direction from which you can amend as you see fit based on the comments you put the proposed plan. Do you need any more than that?
No, I think I'll give Liz, I know the direction that council as a whole would like to go, and so we'll come up with a new list and present it at a later time.
Okay. And then next month or two.
Just say one thing. I think it would be helpful, for future councils, assuming that, nothing gets done during our tenure, but this gets looked at in another 8 or 10 years, for there to be in the master plan some, fine tuning of what the requirements are. So, for example, we need to explore how many trees get removed if this work is done. We need to explore, is parking eliminated on the street because of this? Things like that at least are in there so that somebody knows this is not like march forward towards this goal and this is happening. It's, town wants to explore these things, but also know what, understand what negatives might be. Not their very fine-tuned plan, so then to put priorities makes it look like we've thought of it all. And
right.
I don't even think I don't walk these areas to fully, even have that in mind.
So each item could have a pros and cons list for consideration too. That should be established before we present it to the council.
That might be good.
Yeah.
Do you need anything more from us? Does anyone on council? Yes.
I just wanted to add that maybe, Joe, if you could work with the Ross School superintendent on a short-term basis to explore steps that could be taken to make that Bolinas Sir Francis Drake intersection safer.
Yes.
See if they will pay for it.
Yeah. And they have a foundation.
Or contribute. Find a way. Yes.
Council, anyone on the council have any more?
Thank you for your time, but and that concludes it.
Thank you. Okay, so now we are at item 15.
Established design standards and maintenance requirements,
It would ensure that the Federal Communications Commission radio frequency emissions are followed properly. It also identifies that or would require that if a facility needs to be relocated because it's in conflict with the town right-of-way project, then those facilities would have to be removed. And what's most important that we, the town, love is that it also includes indemnification requirements. So with that, staff is recommending that the council hold a public hearing and consider the introduction and first reading of this ordinance to amend the Ross Municipal Code. And I will have our town attorney, I believe you have to read the...
I think the mayor just did read the title.
Okay, yeah, so perfect.
Yeah.
So with that, I will conclude my presentation, and if you have any questions, I'm available to answer them.
Anyone on council have questions? Mr. Mayor?
Can you go back to that prior slide? The relocation of any facility in the right-of-way, would that, the payment of the relocation, would that be by the wireless telecommunication provider, not the town?
That's correct.
And that's clear as well, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a question on that same one. Is that for existing? That's for existing?
Existing and proposed.
So, for example, the one that's in front on Lagunitas, just past the school on the left, I don't even know what those are. What are those?
Those are wireless telecommunications facilities. Those are PG&E utility boxes. So those are different.
So those are not covered by any of this?
No, this is just for cellular communication facilities, wireless.
Am I right that we're talking about this in anticipation of various of the wireless telecommunications companies coming to us soon with requests for the installation of facilities on poles and so forth?
That is correct. We're actually a little behind as well. Most municipalities already have regulations in place, and those municipalities are amending their regulations to address future regulations in anticipation. But for the town, we don't really have anything on the books whatsoever. So we're just even establishing a benchmark just to regulate them so the town can have the protection to identify and prioritize the location of these facilities, as well as the design and aesthetics of the facilities.
What wireless telecommunications facilities do we now have in our?
So we actually have three facilities actually on the town hall property. We have two cellular sites located on the building at 33 Sir Francis Drake, which is the fire and police station. And we have a pole that's located just adjacent to the public works building.
But there, we have an expectation that these companies are going to be coming to us in the very near future, asking to be permitted to put facilities on various locations around town.
That is correct. So these regulations actually identify where facilities may or may not be located. And we also now would have the protections to regulate the aesthetics of facilities within the public right-of-way. Because as the law looks like it's going, if the town doesn't have anything in place, then we wouldn't have any ability to regulate at least the design. We don't have the ability to say no outright, but we do have the ability to say no to the design.
Are there any other questions by council?
Yeah, I have another question. Are we behind, you said we're behind in getting this regulation. Is it possible that we're going to get a bunch of applications before this ordinance passes?
No. I'm just suggesting that, you know, in the mid-90s, that's when most municipalities started putting telecommunication facility regulations in place. And since then, the laws have been changing. We don't have any protections in place currently, so we're a little bit behind the curve. In that situation, we also have vendors or carriers coming to the town interested in the possibility of locating these facilities in the town. And we want to be proactive with having these regulations in place, so when an application is submitted, we know how to address it.
I need to expand. There's been a lot of, before you had the large cell technologies, which we have on our properties, what you're seeing now is the desire to have what's called small technology to go on in the right-of-ways throughout town at multiple more locations and in a tighter geographic location. So right now they're doing it 4G and it's being pushed in the next couple of years it'll be 5G, and they'll even want more locations in 5G than 4G. So you're going to see people wanting to attach things to our telephone poles throughout town. And you can have the multiple carriers each coming through. And that's a start of the South Bay. A number of jurisdictions are getting in. It's starting the process and really we're in now.
And is the expectation that we'll have better wireless telecommunications service once these things are done?
That's the expectation. But we also want to balance the design, the functionality of it.
Well, yeah, but there may be some benefit.
Yes, with all the data going through you, there, yes. As data needs increase.
Any other questions by council? Okay, we'll open it up to the public. Is there any public comment on this subject? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for discussion and potential action. Anybody want to have anything they want to say? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
The motion would be, Mr. Mayor, to introduce the ordinance, read by title only, and wait for the reading.
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Brekus?
Aye.
And Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that brings us to item number 16, Town Council consideration of introduction of ordinance number 693, an ordinance of the Town of Ross amending Ross Municipal Code Title IX, Peace, Safety, and Morals, Chapter 9.60, to change the title to Social Host Ordinance and update the regulations governing loud and unruly gatherings.
That will be me, Mr. Mayor. So, yeah, I will be the police chief. I'll take the police chief's place tonight. He had to go home for something. A situation came up, not a medical, so a property. So, the social host ordinance, what this is doing is we have in our codes related to unruly gatherings relate to alcohol. This is adding cannabis and other substances to that, and also the party bus, the incident of the party bus, so you could, it's not just a location of a house that in effect there's liability and could be spread to the people hosting the bus itself.
Does any member of the council have questions to say? Okay, does any member of the public wish to speak on this subject? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Does anyone have any further discussion on the council?
No.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
And would you tell us exactly what the motion is?
I believe you did read the title in full at first. Okay, so the motion is to introduce, to read by title only, and wait for the reading.
So moved. Second.
Okay, Councilmember Brekus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that brings us to item number 17, Town Council consideration of introduction of ordinance number 694, an ordinance of the Town of Ross amending Ross Municipal Code Title II, Administration and Personnel, by adding Chapter 2.38, Purchasing, regarding the purchase of supplies, services, and equipment, and Chapter 2.40, Public Projects, to provide informal bidding procedures for public projects under the Uniform Public Construction Cost Accounting Act. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council. The right now, we currently have administrative purchasing policies that the town has been using. This is to put them now into code to formalize. We saw some opportunities to improve the codes by going through. And I could either leave a presentation back, I could give you a 3-minute version, or leave it for questions. So rather than me going out for 3 or 4 minutes, let me know if you want me to, or do you want to just have questions for me?
Well, let's find out if there are any questions by any member of the council. Okay, does the public have, anyone in the public have any offer on this subject?
So I'm not going to get my 3 minutes.
That was your 3 minutes. For discussion or action. Anyone have any discussion on this subject? Anyone wish to make a motion? Would you tell us, Fisher, what
yes.
The motion should be?
The motion is to introduce ordinance number 694, read by title only, and wait for the reading.
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
Mayor Cole?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that's the end of our administrative agenda. We'll now move to some no action items. One item that I want to call to the attention of the members of the council is that next month we will have on our agenda our review of our town managers. That will require sending out some questionnaires for each of us to fill out and return, and then I'll try to assemble it into some overall observation. We will consider, do we talk to you in closed
session? Closed session, yes.
And then we come back and have to discuss the salary issue in open session, is that right?
Well, you could have a negotiator to talk with me outside of closed session, and they would go, mention in the closed session.
So that's the process. I'm going to need a lot of help from somebody. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you.
I'll email that to you.
Yes, okay.
It's all about just my view. My assistant is so I told him we'd help.
Okay. Does anyone else have any correspondence they wish to bring to the council's attention? Hearing none, does anyone have any other future council items that they wish to suggest?
I do. It's really a public works item, but I don't know if that, in front of that, you know where our boxes I was talking about that apparently have nothing to do with public communications? Online units, they're the, would you say, BGB boxes?
Are they on the, they're the sidewalk pad though?
Yeah, they're part of that house being approved for the long lanes.
In the first block, against the school.
One of the streets.
Right, is there something that we can put around that? That's really unattractive.
I believe we can, yeah.
Like, I don't know if it could be a hedge or like a, looks like garbage receptacle, but I mean, I think we could talk, if that, I don't know if that needs to be a future item. Or
they have to, if it's PG&E, they require, they have certain access requirements, they need like 5 feet clear in front of the panels. I'd have to take a look at it and see what we can do. If they, the panels do open up to the street, there's really nothing to do.
So let us find out more about PG&E and put out a memo to you what we can do, and out of them we can.
Okay, so for now you'll just put out a memo, and then we'll decide if we want to consider if there's something reasonable we want to consider.
Is appropriating the lights, is that something that the council does in the future? How does that process?
We were going to look to bring that probably to the next council meeting.
Okay. You know, one suggestion. It's really, I mean, maybe this is great. It's kind of hard to figure out which lights are new. But I think the logging in is pretty easy, but in the wind should be walk around it. I wonder if it's like a ribbon around each pole that has a new light, some way of marking it, so that people can really look to see what's new and what's old. It's hard to tell, I thought.
If they can't tell the difference,
there's something, you know, I look at that, this is really white, this must be new, and I don't think I like it, but maybe it's the old one. We have some old white lights, we have some old yellow lights. It's I think it'd be helpful to know what it is we're considering taking on, and we can't really tell.
So is it difficult to tell the difference between the old and the new?
Some of the old ones are kind of, it depends on where, different areas, but some of the old ones are white. Some of the new ones seem white. I mean, I think it'd be helpful to know which ones are new. I
walked around
last night, and I thought I saw which ones were new.
I'm looking to put that on the agenda.
Okay, so we're all set.
As far as marketing, I mean,
there's no green survey flying around the poles. It's
just low key. Something low key. That's
not private. We just need a private nighttime tour, right?
Yeah, look, my suggestion to you, like, at 10:30 or so at night, just walk the loop and then walk a little off the loop. And that's the easy thing about the windship, that whole circle, anything in the circle of five, I think it's five, is those lights. If you walk off the radius going off the loop between Winship, Wellington, and Garden, I think it's the loop, then you're in the old one. And you will see, they're very different. What's off, there's like, it's a very different type of light from each other. Our lights are very inconsistent throughout town. So you'll see bright white, you'll see this orange light, and you'll see a lot of different things once you go off the radius.
Okay, and it'll be ugly.
But walk around at 10:30 at night, and you'll see.
Yeah, at least some very visible flagging
off
the road pole.
Not too
okay.
visible, low key.
Yeah, people still what's that for?
I'm opposed to marking that because I think that's just going to invite tons of controversy. I worry about that.
Wait a second. I worry about discussing it because it's not an agenda. We have suggested a possibility to staff, and they can react on this in their best judgment they see fit. I think that's the most we can do.
Okay.
So with that, we'll close the open session, and we'll go back into closed session.